Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much for joining us on Face to Face. Hope you're having a good day, and hope that sports are a part of your life. You know, we have so many things going on in life. Sports can be a real way in which you can kind of get the stress out of your life. And for me, well, the big stress for me, the way to get stress out of my life is watching baseball. I love baseball. Now, I know some people would say, and I'm probably a lot older than a lot of people who are into sports these days, but I love baseball. I love just watching it, and I love just kind of getting to know the players. And I guess maybe one of the things that helps me to like baseball more is I've been around it a lot. I've had a real opportunity in face-to-face to interview a number of players going back to the early 90s, going back, in fact, to one of the first people that ever was on face-to-face, a guy named Watson Spolstra, who started Baseball Chapel with a couple of guys, one from the Minnesota Twins named Al Worthington, who's been on face-to-face, and another who was a catcher with the Chicago Cubs named Randy Hundley. Now, that may, for you Cubs fans out there, you may remember that name, Randy Hundley. Anyway, I love baseball. And you hear a lot in baseball about money. They talk a lot about money. Of course, Manny Machado signs with the San Diego Padres for over $300 million. And it looks like Bryce Harper, as we tape this, he hasn't signed yet. It looks like Bryce Harper is going to sign with somebody for more than that, probably $300 and some million. And you think to yourself, how do these guys make all this money? There's probably guys out there just making bazillion amounts of money. And it's really not true. There's guys making a lot of money, and there's guys making millions of dollars, but there's no one making, there's not many people making near that amount of money. And the thing about baseball that I love is the fact that most of the people that I have ran into in baseball are really good people. I can say that unequivocally, haven't been around the game. And one of the people that I really love being around are the umpires. I've gotten to know a number of umpires, and I've had a chance to even, I suppose, mentor a few umpires. One of the great people that I know is Ted Barrett. Now, Ted Barrett is a guy who's in the Major League umpire field, is known as one of the best. He's done World Series games. He's done two perfect games. He did one that was thrown by David Cohn of the Toronto Blue Jays. He did one that was thrown by Randy Johnson, I believe when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'd have to check on that. But Ted Barrett, and he's also done World Series games. He's done All-Star games. But the thing about Ted Barrett is the fact that he has started a ministry called Calling for Christ, in which he pulls together every year in northern Texas. He pulls together for a weekend a number of umpires and talks to them directly about their life and talks to them directly about knowing Jesus Christ. And it's been a privilege of mine to know Ted personally and to actually have attended one of the Calling for Christ weekends that they had up in Texas, in the northern panhandle of Texas. And out of that also, I have been able to establish some friendships with some minor league umpires, guys whose names that I could give to you, but you probably wouldn't remember, guys that are minor league umpires, and some guys who are now out of the game. They've gone on to other things. Because umpiring can be tough. Minor league umpiring can be very, very stressful, very tough. You just don't get paid much, and you're really never home. You don't have any home teams when you're a minor league umpire. But we have with us today Ted Barrett. And I wanted you to hear the interview and wanted you to hear about the life of Ted Barrett and where he's come from and just the ministry that he has. So today on Face to Face, you're going to hear Ted Barrett. This is an interview that we actually did outside in Phoenix last year near the Phoenix airport. It was out in the parking lot. So you're going to hear some planes go over, but that's okay. We're not necessarily in a studio all the time, and we want to meet guys where they are. And across the street from the Chicago Cubs complex in the parking lot, close to Phoenix International Airport. We did this interview with Ted Barrett. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear what we had, what Ted and I had to say. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest today is a guy that's a good friend of mine, Ted Barrett. He's a Major League umpire, one of the best, according to the players. Teddy, thanks for being a part of Face to Face. When did you decide that you wanted to be an umpire?
Well, I was about 14, and I got roped into doing a Little League game. And one thing about umpiring, you either like it or you hate it. And I liked it. So I kind of did some Little League games, and when I was in college, I played football at Cal State Hayward, a small school, and my dad told me I had to get a job, so I started umpiring high school baseball, and that was a great way to make some money. My buddies were flipping burgers, and I was outside umpiring baseball. I met some guys that were in the minor leagues, and they encouraged me to go to umpire school and give it a chance to do it professionally, and I decided I was more kind of a whim that I went to Florida, and I got a job, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, you were in the minors for about 6 years. Was there ever a time in the minors where you were discouraged, where you said, maybe I've made a wrong decision here, or did you really just start to love it from the beginning?
Well, I loved being on the road. I loved umpiring, but it was very hard. I had a family. I had my wife and two small children. We have three children now. And at the time, it was very hard financially. It was a stress on her. And, yeah, there were times I thought about going home. But my wife was great, and we just endured and rode out the tough times in the minor leagues. And luckily, it wasn't too long before I got called up to the big leagues.
Minor league umpiring can be really tough. I know the facilities are bad for the players sometimes, but sometimes the facilities are even worse for the umpires. Give me a little example of what it was like being a minor league umpire.
Well, I go to some minor league games now, and my son's a minor league umpire now, and as I go, I'm amazed at some of these stadiums, because they're sure not like the ones when I was in the minor leagues, which doesn't seem too long ago, but I'll give you an example. Salinas, California, we had a locker room that was huge, but it was huge vertically. It was about the size of a closet, but it was really tall. So as we sat there rubbing up baseballs, one guy would have a chair and the other guy would literally sit on the commode because there wasn't room for another chair. And some of our locker rooms, just very small, really nothing more than closets. So now in the big leagues, we've got these beautiful, huge rooms. And if you ever come into a big league locker room, the facilities are fantastic. But it sure wasn't that way when I was in the minor leagues.
Do you remember your first major league game?
Absolutely. Getting called up, I remember I was working in Tucson, which was in AAA at the time, and I got called to head to Texas. So I got on a plane, and the whole way there, I had this bad thought that I was going to land, and they said, oh, we called the wrong guy, sorry. But I got to Texas, I got in, I went out, and I worked third base at the stadium. I think it was 1994, so I think it might have been the first year of that stadium. And now they're talking about building a new one, which doesn't seem too long ago. I worked third base, Roger Clemens drew for the Boston Red Sox. We had a rain delay. The lights actually went out for a few minutes, which doesn't happen very often in the big leagues. And quite an eventful night. I just remember feeling extremely excited, nervous, proud, all those emotions that just flooded through me. And that was May of 1994.
When you come into a ballpark, no one cheers for you. In fact, I've heard it said, maybe you're the one that told me, if nobody talks to you, you've had a good game. What gives you the satisfaction about this job, about being a major league umpire?
You know, it's said that umpiring is a job. You got to start out perfect and get better. It's just an impossible job to do perfectly. Yet I love the challenge. I want to do really well. I want to, run a ball game. We feel like as umpires, we are, we're the integrity of the sport. And I love that. It's a great game. It's America's game, and we're in charge of keeping order in what can be chaos sometimes. But you're right, and what gives me the satisfaction, not too often do people say, hey, great job, or very rarely will a fan say, hey, good job, Lou, maybe if his team won. But I get satisfaction from, we work for a crowd of one.
Yeah,
and that's what we work for. We work for God, and when we walk off the field, if He's glorified, then we're satisfied.
Do you ever? I know the managers come out at halftime at the beginning of a game. They meet at home plate. You exchange cards and talk to the umpires. Do you ever get a relationship with anybody like that, or do you ever have guys come out there and actually give you compliments and say, "Hey, you know, pretty good game," anything like that, or is that pretty much not something you do?
No, they do. Especially a lot of times they'll bring the lineup cards out the following day. And they'll look at, you're standing over there at third base getting ready for the game to start. They, hey, good job last night. And that's always nice to hear. Not that we take our value in what they think, but it's always nice to hear a compliment from anybody. These guys we have relationships with. Some of the guys I came through the minor leagues with, and I've known them literally for 30 years, and it's kind of cool to see guys that I had players in the minor leagues are now coaches and managers.
You're known as a calm umpire. You have quite a demeanor because you're 6'4 and about 250 pounds, so I can pick you out on the screen even if I know you're not doing a game, because I can see your head and shoulders, or at least your top half of your head is above the rest of the umpires. Even you get into heated situations sometimes. Does your calm demeanor kind of be at work as a plus for you? Is that difficult to get into heated situations?
It does, but I feel like the Holy Spirit just giving me the ability to kind of bring peace into a situation, and it wasn't always that way. The people that knew me when I was in A-ball and Double-A knew that I had a temper and I wanted to fight. That's the way I dealt with conflict. That's something God's really worked hard in my life to change. I've tried to handle situations being a hothead, and it didn't work out very well. So I've changed now, and I just try to keep calm and bring calm into a situation. And luckily, God's given me favor, and that's worked out pretty well.
It's kind of interesting. You've been involved in some big moments in baseball. One that's kind of obscure: August 14th, 2007. You ejected Bobby Cox, the Atlanta manager. It was 132nd ejection, and you were involved as a new major league manager, as a new major league record. I'm sure that's something that kind of goes by the wayside. But there are times when you have to do it. You have to get rid of it. You have to get the manager off the field, don't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know that if they. Players know what they can and can't say. Managers know what they can and can't say. And sometimes a manager will get ejected to fire his team up. Interesting story about that. When I ran Bobby Cox for the record, it was the only time I ran Bobby, and it was between innings. He was yelling from the dugout, and I told him to stop, and he didn't. They were away at commercial, and I feel like the Braves fans got cheated because everything was building up to the breaking of the record, and it was a very calm ejection. So not a lot of dust kicking, and by Bobby Cox standards, very calm. And so I think we cheated the Braves fans a little bit.
And you've been involved with, I think, a couple of perfect games. Randy Johnson's perfect game, and tell me the other ones.
Yeah, I had David Cone's perfect game in 1999 and Matt Cain in 2012. I was behind the plate. Also with Philip Humber, I was over third base when he threw that one up in Seattle. So, yeah, you think about there's only been 20-some perfect games in the history of all the years baseball has been played, and being behind the plate for two of them, which I'm the only umpire that's happened to, it's such a blessing to be a part of big games like that.
Our guest is Teddy Barrett. He's the one of the top major league umpires that's out there. And he's also a very strong man of God. We're going to talk about that and talk about his life here in a minute. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Ted Barrett. And Ted, maybe in the umpire world, you're known for the Calling for Christ ministry as much as you are for your umpiring. Tell me a little bit about Calling for Christ and what that's all about.
Well, Calling for Christ is a ministry that... When I first came to the big leagues, being a Christian and living out your faith was not something that was done very widely. And so Rob Drake and I, Rob's a major league umpire as well, we got to be friends with the guys from UPI, which is a baseball ministry that does wonderful work. And we went to a retreat back in 2003. We said, this is awesome, but it's not right for players to mix with umpires. You know, they're like cats and dogs. So we said, why can't we start one with just umpires? So we that's the way we started, just doing a retreat. And this was our 15th retreat that we had. We sent out some emails for the first one. You know, Rob was a minor league umpire at the time, so I was the only big league guy there, and we had, including myself, 12 umpires and mostly low-level rookie ball, A-ball guys. And this past year, in December, up in Texas, we had our 15th annual retreat, and we had 60 professional umpires. I think it was about 15 major league umpires, 40-some minor league umpires, and one retired umpire, Tim McClellan, joined us. So, you know, we've gone from a small group to, but we do other things too. We have prayer calls during the week. We have Bible studies. We have discipleship programs. So we continue to grow.
How important is it for encouragement? I know one of the things that I've been involved with in Calling for Christ is when umpires come through the Indianapolis or come through someplace, Louisville, someplace close to me, I have a chance to sit down and talk to them, and they really seem to pick up on that. They really seem to be encouraged by that. How important is it to have that encouragement?
Well, yeah, just to have a brotherhood is really important for encouragement. And also in the, especially the minor leagues, there's just not a lot of people that reach out to umpires and have friendships. So I know you've been a tremendous source of encouragement to the guys. And, you know, at the big league level, just to have this community, a faith community of believers, is such an encouragement during the season. Umpiring is a lonely profession. We are on the road constantly. You think about it, the players, they have home games half the time. So even if they're not playing in a town that's their home, they have a home base where their family is. We're on the road. We have no home games. I live here in Phoenix, so if I'm doing the Diamondbacks, which is one or two series a year, I'll be at home. But other than that, I'm on the road in a hotel room by myself. So having a group of believers that you can have community with, that's essential.
When did Jesus Christ come into your life?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I went to a small Baptist church. My uncle was the youth minister, Sunday school teacher, worship band, small church. He wore a lot of hats. And I went there, and he shared the gospel. And I knew even at 8 years old that I needed Jesus. And that's when I accepted him in my life. Like any other teenager, you know, I had some ups and downs. And, you know, if you knew me as a high school student playing football, basketball, and baseball, You probably wouldn't pick me out as a Christian from the crowd. I was pretty much just like everybody else. But when I got into college, I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and they really challenged me. Eric Hyatt was our chaplain for our football team, and he began to pour into me with Bible studies and verse memorization and just taking to a new level and taking it seriously. So I credit Campus Crusade for kind of rekindling my love for Jesus at that age.
And I know this Calling for Christ thing kind of came about. You were, I won't say kicking and screaming to get into it, but I know it was kind of like, Lord, if you get me to the majors, I will follow you or I'll be a spokesman for you. And then I read somewhere where you said, okay, Lord, now you're just calling me to more. Tell me a little bit about the motivation that you had for Calling for Christ and your journey to get there.
Well, yeah, as I went to umpire school and I got into the minor leagues, I felt God calling me to the ministry. I felt God calling me to I felt like he was calling me to preach or be a missionary. And so I made this deal with Jesus, you know, which is, I'm sure God laughed like heck at me, but I made this deal that I would pursue umpiring, and if it didn't work out, then I would go into ministry. You know, God just continued to call me deeper and deeper and into ministry, but I made it to the big league, so I thought, okay, that's the deal, so now I'm an umpire, and we can drop this ministry stuff, but God just wouldn't let it rest and kept calling me to, and so I finally had to get to a place of surrender where I said, all right, God, I'm in. I will go into ministry, but I think it's a dirty trick because you put me in the big leagues and now you're calling me out of it. And, you know, he just kind of looked down at me and said, okay, dummy, I put you in the major leagues as an umpire. I placed you there strategically. And yes, I want you in ministry too, but as a major league umpire. So I got a thick head. It took me a while to get that. Once I did, I knew that's the plan that God had.
And Calling for Christ is not just a conference, but I think, as we've said, the encouragement throughout the year. You're a very busy man. You're on the road constantly, and you have to, of course, umpiring takes a lot of time. But do you stay in touch, particularly with the minor league guys? I know you get a chance to see the major league guys all the time because you're working with them. But do you send out anything, or is there any sort of encouragement that you give to umpires throughout the season?
Yeah, absolutely. We have our prayer calls are on Friday for the big league guys, but then on Saturday we do it for the minor league guys as well. And we have great guys that other major league umpires that are leaders. Discipleship studies. We use the Multiply, which is the Francis Chan and David Platt wrote that. And big league guys will disciple minor league guys. Spring training is a time when we're all together, usually in the Phoenix and Florida area, and we'll get together then. Throughout the season, if we cross paths with minor league guys, we might be in Chicago while they're in the Midwest League, and we always try to just get together with them and try to encourage them. I remember what it was like when I was in the Cal League, and I got to go to a San Francisco Giants game and mingle with the major league umpires. I thought that was the coolest thing ever, and so we try to give minor league guys a chance to do that as well. And we stay in touch with the guys. You know, there's only 76 of us, and we stay until we die or retire, so there's not many openings, and we try to stay in touch with the guys even as they get out of umpiring.
Teddy, I know this has been an important time for you. I appreciate it. As you can probably hear, we are very close to the Sky Harbor Airport at Phoenix. But I just appreciate. Do you have like a favorite verse that kind of is a life verse for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's and this is something that was pointed out to me by one of my seminary professors, which I didn't realize. But it says, and let the peace of the Lord rule in your heart. And that word rule is actually the Greek word for umpire.
Really?
Yeah. So, again, we talked about bringing peace on the field, and I feel like that's our role as and even in life. If I can bring peace into a situation. And now, peace isn't always just the absence of conflict. Peace is the resolution of conflict. So sometimes we have to have conflict to bring around peace. But that's kind of my life verse, is that let's do the best to have peace with each other.
Teddy, always good to get a chance to meet with you. Good luck during the season, and we'll continue to pray for you.
Well, thank you, brother. I'll be praying for face-to-face. God bless you.
All right. Ted Barrett, Major League Umpire. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face-to-Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Ted Barrett. I certainly did. And a couple guys you can pray for. One is Ted Barrett's son, who is going to be in the Texas League this year as he makes his way up through the ranks. And another is a guy named Ty Krause that I had a chance to be with last year and mentor when he was with when he was in the Midwest League, traveling around. The Midwest League is one of the most spread out leagues in minor league baseball. It's what they call low A, and a lot of the guys that are in this league never get to the majors, and same is true with the umpires, but they're moving up, and Ty Krause is a guy you can pray for. I'm not sure what league he's in this year. I'm still waiting to hear from him, but last year he was in the Midwest League, which is Peoria and South Bend, Bowling Green, Kentucky, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Dayton, Ohio, on and on. But you can pray for Ty, and pray for all these minor league umpires and major league umpires that have Jesus Christ in their life and are trying to live a solid life in a stressful situation. And pray for Teddy. He's got a tremendous ministry. And when you see him on a game, and you'll see him a lot, when you see him on a game behind the plate or out in the field, say a little prayer for Ted. I know he'd appreciate that. Well, we hope that you have checked out our website already. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we've got different things up there, different articles, different interviews that we've had in the past. You can check all those out. You can listen to them. You can download them to your device and listen to them, and I hope that you'll do that. Not just Ted Barrett, not just baseball players, but people from all sports, people that you may have heard of, people that you may not have heard of, but all of them have one thing in common, and that's Jesus Christ at the center of their life. And I hope to check that out. Face2FaceRadio.com. And we'd love to hear from you, too. Sometimes the only way we know that anybody's really checking in is just when they take time to call us. You can do that through our website, or take time to let us know that you're listening. That's what we want to know. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to a familiar verse from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's very hard not to be anxious for anything, isn't it? We're anxious about a lot of things in this world, but if people just would allow Jesus Christ to work in their life, we know that a lot of that stress would go away. Hope that verse means a lot to you today, Philippians 4:6. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at face2faceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.